It's time for Stars on Sports,
a podcast radio show dedicated to sharing stories about our athletic program at LCC, past and present.
Lansing Community College Athletics has a strong tradition.
25 national championships.
Over 190 All-Americans.
19 MCCAA All-Sports trophies.
Stars on Sports will introduce you to individuals that have contributed to our program's success and give you the backstory on what it takes to develop it.
We'll also dive into and break down the topics and issues facing athletic departments across the nation and right here at LCC.
This is Stars on Sports. Hello and welcome to another episode of Stars on Sports. Today I'm joined by our Assistant Athletic Director, Stephen Cutter, and our producer, Dedalion Lowry. And gentlemen, as we record this podcast in the summer, I think it's a good time to reflect on 24, 25. We've talked a lot about reflection in this podcast before and how we think it's important to future success. I also think it's important to celebrate our successes, and we're going to have to change our byline because one of our goals was winning the All-Sports Trophy, and we won it this year, and that's a significant accomplishment for our athletic department. It's something we put out there.
Can't hear you over the crowd, man.
No, they're loud. That's a loud crowd, which is another accomplishment of the year with our fan support and such, how that continues to build and grow. But
I feel like our biggest accomplishment of the 24-25 season would be left unspoken about, but I really think we should share that Greg Laddick is the Athletic Director of the Year.
An incredible accomplishment.
I have not heard this.
He's crazy. It's for our league, the MCCAA. And it is a reflection of the year we've had. I can't win that without the success and the support.
You can't win it without the hard work. You're a guy that's in super late and in early and constantly working and supporting the coaches and also the student athletes and also our college, and so it's well deserved.
Well,
there you go. That's what we needed right there. I just went to a conference these last 2 days, and that was one of my takeaways, and that I am terrible at. And you just did it. You did this thing where you kind of like deferred and said, and by any means, you need to give credit to those that are supporting you, but also just say thank you.
That's a good point. I went to a conference for the same thing because I was not good at that before the conference. I deflected all the time. Mm-hmm. So because, again, in this role, it's a team, and that's why I like being part of a team. And that wasn't even on my list of successes here, Cutter, so you owe
You're
me
welcome.
For sneaking
You're
that
welcome.
In
yep.
there. But
I think you owe him for sneaking that one in there. That's a worthwhile and awesome thing. Congratulations, Matt.
Yes. Again, it is, and I am thankful that my colleagues who I get along with well and have challenged them to be better too. I've been very involved in our league, and they've been supportive and understanding of my quirkiness and things that I bring to the table. But in the end, it is a reflection of the year our athletic department had, and we had quite the year. And it starts with the All Sports Trophy, because that does mean a lot to me, because that means all our sports did well, and they did. We have 9 sports, but 7 of them participate in the MCCAA. Track and field is not a league sport, but of the 7 sports, I believe 5 of them did win their division, and the other 2 took 2nd and 3rd. So, again, that's hard to beat, that consistency across the board. And, again, that's something we emphasize, because we even talked last year, because – we won it my first year here, and we took 2nd the last 2 years, is that consistency. We've seen teams win it before and then fall, but thankfully here at LCC, we try to continue to stay at the highest level even when we don't win it. But winning it means a lot to me, because we do compete for a reason. We can do compete to win. And again, we have a lot more academic accomplishments that we will share here, but it's nice to see that success on the field, because there is a lot of hard work that goes into making this happen. So let's continue with our on-the-field success. We had 2 region champions. We had a national champion cross country. That is the program's fourth in a row. Women had won two in a row, and then the men have won back-to-back championships, and you know, had a lot of freshmen returning and imposed to be there. I believe almost every one of our teams was ranked in the top 25 this year, which is, again, recognition on a national scale. Two region champions, four region runner-up. So, you know, there is consistency there. 10 All-Americans, too, which is, I think, another neat thing across all sports. So, and I actually, that's one that stands out to me probably more than some of those other ones, that the individual success we have across the board, because we do recruit locally and then branch out. So reflecting on which one of these, you know, besides the All Sports Trophy stands out, that is one of them. Now to the academic side, we had 68 MCCAA all academic kids, which are the 3.0 or higher. That's really around half of our student body. We had 43 NJCA academic all students, which is significantly higher than last year, and that's a 3.6 GPA or higher. We had five teams earn academic, which is 3.0 or higher. We had 41 kids earn associate degree. So we're getting it done academically too. And as I think about goals for next year, academics still high on my list. I still think we can do better. And I still think we can work with LCC on doing better because, you know, our overall GPA is around the 3.0, which is the highest, you know, it's been since I've been here. But it's still, I don't think, good enough. I still think we can do better there.
That's impressive, though.
It is impressive because I was going to say the our goal, you know, I have four kind of pillars that I try and, like, evaluate our athletic department is, you know, do well in the classroom, do well on the athletic field, get involved in the college, and get involved in the community. And in those first two, these numbers show we're mm-hmm. making headway in those areas. And it's a team effort. I'm fortunate. And we had, you know, a history of this. You know, the 20th All-Sports Trophy lead the league in that. Some of these other things lead the league in that. But I still think we can do better. And I still think there's other things that I'd like to talk about that we reflect on are even better than this of when we reflect on the year. So, like, last year had nothing to do with national championships, had nothing to do with regional titles, had nothing to do with all academic teams. It had to do with student athletes. And, you know, last year, one of my favorite things was how our sports went out and supported each other athletic events, mm-hmm. How students love being at LCC. And honestly, I believe that we sustained that this year and heard some of those same comments. And some of my favorite memories is last year we kind of organized students going to other events. This year we did less and we still had it happen.
Oh, that's great.
It is good. And we got to do better at it, but it's still awesome that we had student athletes of other sports pretty much at every other athletic event in some capacity. Sometimes that's whole teams. Sometimes it's individuals. And then the other thing is, you know, the one thing we did coordinate that was just fun for me was our volleyball team, which had another great year, went to the national tournament last year, didn't make it this year, but still sustained that success and took second in the regional. But we had our teams help out at their events. And that just seemed fun to me, seeing each team down there helping out another team. And that's something I'd like to maybe even coordinate more in the future. But, again, those are the off-the-field events that I enjoy and really think depict what we want our athletic department to be about. Coach Cutter, any quick things about the year in review for you?
You covered so many things, and I think it really boils down to just a lot of hard work, and things kind of roll downhill, and it starts with you, and you've had a vision since you came in, and you speak about the pillars and the importance of community and the importance of being together, but also the importance of being on campus and showing your school pride. And then, of course, the things like the education and the winning on the field and winning in life. And a lot of those things have come to fruition in your 4 years, and that's a big reflection on you and something that you really need to be proud of. And yes, you've had a lot of help. And yes, there's been a ton of kids here that have just been great, great kids, and they come from great families. But it boils down to just a lot of hard work.
And it does. And we've talked about hard work doesn't always equal success. But you got to have hard work yes. to have success. And you hit on a couple other points that I wasn't including in our podcast today. And you're not, I appreciate all the accolades, Cutter. So I don't know if he's trying to get a raise as we head into next year. But to what you say, alignment is important. And we have worked hard on alignment. And we yes. have worked hard on aligning with our college, too. And, you know, one of my general statements is, represent LCC well. That's what I want our athletic department to do. And most people judge us by wins and losses, but it those other thing. Well, but having that alignment, and I believe our department had that alignment with our, we have a great coaching staff. They're part-time coaches for the most part. Don't get paid a lot for the most part, but they work hard. They inspire me on how hard they work. They care about kids. Recruiting is the lifeblood of a college athletic department. There's a lot of work that goes into it. We've talked about it before on a podcast. You spend a lot of time on recruiting, and you don't even know what the result will be. I mean, you recruit five kids, and you might only get one of them, but you're putting a lot of time in all five of those kids. We're fortunate to have a beautiful campus that recruits like to come and see. We're fortunate to have a lot of local high schools that have statewide success. We're fortunate to have Michigan State University right next to us. Our kids like connecting with them and being so close to that college environment. So we got a lot that goes for us, but our coaches take advantage of this, and I wouldn't trade in our coaching staff for nothing because I think they work hard too and are aligned. They have high standards. I mean, we joke in our office about some of the things we encounter and think we don't want to be like that. But alignment is one of the things too. The other two things you just mentioned I'm going to hit on too, since, hey, I appreciate you giving me some subject matter to this podcast, is visibility. It is important to be visible. I'm a big believer in showing up. We've talked about attendance before and how important that is, but I like to be present at everything that I can be. And I know our teams do too, because again, the battle, and we've talked about percentage before of showing up. So we are trying to be more visible on campus. Your team has done an excellent job of attending almost every important event on campus, the Veterans Day events, back to school event, party with the president. And the school does a lot of events to get kids involved. So
that was a pillar of, you know, when we started as well, how important it was going to be for our student athletes to be visible on campus. And it was something that we just started going to. And then eventually, because the team was seen in so many different places, that now it's morphed into constantly being asked if we can help out at different events. So it's been great. It's not a oh, we have to go to this. It's a we get to go to this, and we get asked often to provide, you know, 5, 10, 15 people to help out for whatever college event is happening on campus.
So, I can only imagine how helpful that is to build that camaraderie on the field.
Yeah, it just makes a difference. And anytime that you're somewhat living a life where you're serving others, regardless of how many things you have going on in your own life, it helps you step back a little bit. And there is a certain feeling of like you're doing something that you're supposed to be doing. And student athletes, college kids, they don't get a ton of those opportunities yet. And so it's a really dynamic thing. And so those pillars that you talk about, those are super important. And when you can see them come to fruition and you can see them start to grow and start to morph into more important and gratifying things with a lot of success, that's kind of what the year in review is about. You want to see it grow. And of course, in high growth environments, you're going to sit there and you're going to say, well, I think we can do better here. And that's why you're seeing consistency with the athletic department, because it's not just the, this is great, now we can relax a little bit. It's, we're going to keep pushing, and we want to see the GPAs go higher, and we want to see the kids have more fun and have more success, not only on the field, but off the field, and make a bigger impact in our community and our campus.
And you're right on. I think we are making headways, and that's where I feel most satisfied with some of the impacts we're having on the college and some of the reciprocation we're getting in the college to support that impact, such as travel. Our teams are traveling even more because it's building memories. And again, one of my goals for 25-26 is the student athlete experience. I think that's more important than ever. And a lot of it takes place off the field. Of course, they remember the wins, but the community service they provide, helping out, the memory, the laughter, the things that go wrong that they remember, but it's that bonding and the thing that, you know, we're allowed to travel across the country to provide these, one, an educational experience to see a city maybe they haven't seen before, but to create experiences to connect, to relate, to come together. So, you know, our travel has increased since, you know, we've been here, and our college has been supportive of that. Our crowds are better. Our parents, our community are supportive. But it is about visibility. It is about wearing that shirt, which branding is a part of that we'll talk about next. But, you know, seeing five baseball kids or one or two women basketball players or men basketball players helping out around college, we wear our shirts every day that identify us. And it's great to see that representation, that giving back to the college that gives us so much, and that we ask so much from, and we even ask more and more from them, because success has a price. But yeah, that visibility has been huge, and your program has been a leader in that of helping out around campus and being involved and serve, because this campus does put on a lot of events. So it's fun to see, and you see them get along and connect through that you talked about, the bonding experiences or taking them out of their comfort zone a little bit. But you know, the other thing we've worked hard on is our brand, you know, making sure, again, when we wear this shirt and uniform, and we wear it every day. So a Dedalion joined us today wearing that nice royal blue shirt, that it's important to us. And sometimes it gets us in trouble. You know, during COVID, we got in trouble for not wearing masks because they could identify we were athletes, and even other instances on campus. You know, I always joke about, there's a story a long time ago, this dude, an athlete, got busted for stealing something out of a gas station because he had his varsity letter jacket on and had his name on it, you know? And
whoops.
Yeah, we have that too. We're easy to identify compared to most other people on campus, but we also are held to a higher standard and need to represent them well. But being visible and having that brand mean something has been important, and again, has taken another step, I feel, over the time that we have been here. And this year, I think all the success kind of reflects a culmination of that. But again, it's not where we want to be, because we still have a ways to go in those things that we want to do. So is there anything else that sticks out to you from the 24-25 year that?
No, I think you've certainly covered a massive amount of growth and a massive amount of positive things here. So there's nothing else that I think stands out outside of just appreciation for what we have here and excitement for what is yet to come.
So, yeah, and as we look forward, there are a couple other individual characteristics I'd like. You know, we don't do a lot with individual success, but, you know, we had a local kid that led the nation in scoring in men's basketball. We had a baseball player that was top two or three in batting average or in offensive performance, and they were both All-Americans for us. Again, local or, you know, regional kids for us. So, you know, we talk a lot about our team success, but we do have individual success, and we do have other sports, you know, top five in cross-country kid. But so it's a combination of both. So as we look forward real quickly, and we won't spend a lot of time on this because we can do this again in the fall, but some of my goals are, again, increasing that academic, just more connection with the college on helping those kids that need it the most. I do believe the student athlete experience is becoming a separator in the recruiting. You know, community service, we do a lot of it, but just more organized and structured. Quick example, and I'm going to share this because I've shared with you before. A big believer in, when you give something, you receive more in return. And I had a small example happen this to me last week. If you guys, I don't know if we're videoing today or not, but I have this little clip on my shirt here for my glasses.
Yeah.
Because in my job, I don't wear my glasses all the time. I usually put them on my collar. Well, like when I pull out the bleachers in basketball, they fall off and they get scratched and that. Yeah. So I found this clip. People pick on me like my grandma got that from the dime store in the 1940s. So anyway.
Well, good. You picked it up at the antique mall, and you're good
with
it.
I bought them on Amazon. I don't buy a lot of Amazon. I bought a pack of eight. I've given out all 8 of mine because when I wear them, people go, oh, I want one of those at Texas Roadhouse, around campus, in store. So I ran out, but I gave one to Todd Rogers, who works in our facilities department here, and he said it was a game changer for him. It's a life changer for him. He gave me mine back and bought me an even nicer one that's even stronger because this one doesn't work as well on sweatshirts, which I wear a lot of heavy sweatshirts in my job. And just, again, I give him one little thing and how little this is, and I got more in mine back and more. Now I can give it to somebody else.
Yeah, I might have to pick one of those up. Yeah, I like it.
If you don't, like some people wear their glasses all the time. I wear mine about 50-50. So
around the house, I'll do what you were talking about, where I'll put it in my shirt, and same thing happens.
Yeah. I lost this pair this winter, and they got snow plowed in. I went back and traced my path. I found the frame, so I was able just to have to buy a new frame for them because when I was walking back, they must have fell off.
So it was a prescription then.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I wouldn't do that for readers. I'm just saying.
Yeah, right. True. I can buy those anyway. My point in all of this is to teach how important it is to teach our student athletes, one, to leave things better than they found it, and two, to give, and when you give, you'll actually receive more in return. And that, I mean, wants to be a continued emphasis of our program moving forward.
I think the great John Maxwell says, givers gain.
Yeah, agree. Well, last year, I remember you quoted Mike Tyson. So this year, much better improvement. But they do. I truly believe that. And I have so many examples. That's why I like sharing them here of when I give something, I usually get more in return. And that wasn't even my goal. I mean, these were like $8 for 8 of them to get by, to helping our student athletes do that moving forward. So anything else on your year in return?
Mm-mm.
What about you, Dedalion? Real quickly, what do you think about for 2024-25 and you and your department?
Well, me and my department's a whole nother thing since I'm pretty much the entire department at this point. But we actually are looking at finding somebody new that'll be replacing Jeremy, who, of course, was with us for a good year and a half or so. And hopefully I'll have a little bit of help. But I will go back to, I know you were joking a little bit about Cut bucking for a raise, but the one thing I know about Cut is he's not, if he doesn't have anything nice to say, he's not going to say it. And I know those were some sincere words. So congratulations, man. I think that's awesome.
Well, thank you again. But again, Cut and I are aligned. He is an excellent compliment to me. He's my accountability department. He challenges me in a positive way. He's a positive representation for us, so that helps, again, having good people around me.
And I do have a question for you. Now, your voice seems a little strained today, so were you yelling at the coaches before you got here?
No, I don't yell much either. I do have a little tickle in my throat.
I've never seen you yell either. So.
Yeah, I've never seen him yell, and I think that's a strong attribute, and that's something, again, we've tried to carry over into our athletic department because competitive can bring out the worst, and we don't want that. So
just a sore throat then?
A little bit. I was in the sun a lot. I thought it was a tribute to the sun and getting burned a little bit, but I do have a little tickle. I think I'm over it now, though.
All right, good.
Can't keep me down. So, again, I'm excited about this question today. It's not one of my best ones, but I'm excited about it because pizza can't be the answer, I don't think. Okay?
All right. Does it have to do with food then?
It does. I have a whole list
food
of
theme.
Other ones, but when I listen back to our previous one, the food ones make me laugh. So, again, a year ago when I listened to our year in review, it was pineapple on a pizza, and that's one of the few times you two disagreed on it. So we're in the summer season, so grilling seems to be a big thing. So what's your go-to grill item in the summer? You're going to grill outside. What is it?
Pizza.
I think I would lean towards steak. Okay. I really enjoy grilling things like steak and asparagus and potatoes on the grill. And it sounds incredible. So, yeah, definitely lean towards that kind of stuff.
Okay. I'd agree with the steak. I'd also throw some ribs in there.
Ribs.
Yeah,
okay.
I do like ribs on the grill. And, yeah, the throwing the veggies. I'm not really a huge veggie guy, as we've talked about before. I'm not really into veggies. But I will say throwing them on the grill really just adds something to it, especially when it comes to asparagus, corn, anything like that. Yeah. So
Again, I would put like hamburgers or hot dogs as my number one thing because they're easy, simple,
quick and easy, yeah.
And quick, and I like them. Steak would be that next thing. I love vegetables on the grill too, corn, and I'm not an asparagus guy, but it doesn't sound
steak,
bad.
Steak's pretty quick too. I mean, 7 minutes is size.
It is. You're right. We and you know my wife likes to grill, so actually she does a lot of our grilling at home and. And the other day we were figuring out for dinner and she threw steaks on and we were, you know, like 10 minutes, they were ready and they were good. But I'm picky on steaks. So I want to, you know, we talked about this before, about good steaks, but so
great steaks.
And we differ on what that definition is, but
there's a difference.
But
is the great steak the with the fat or without the fat?
You got to trim that a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, good. We're all on the same page for that one.
So do you grill a lot in the summer?
Yes. Yep. Got a nice flat top grill, and I'm able to use it for a lot of things. So, yes.
So is it your go-to kind of into the summer?
Yeah.
Even I cannot say that I do.
Even we'll do some breakfast with, you know, bacon and eggs and things like that. So, yeah, definitely gets used a lot.
We do more in the summer, but probably not as much as we should, but okay. Well, good stuff. And next time, maybe I'll go with a non-food question. But until then, go Stars. Stars on Sports is recorded live at the WLNZ Studio. Engineering and production assistance are provided by Dedalion Lowry. And you can listen to the episode and other episodes of Stars on Sports on demand at lccconnect.org. To find more information about our athletic program, visit lccstars.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us next time for more Stars on Sports.
Go Stars. Examining the issues and topics that affect our lives from the local level to the world stage. Listen to the programs of LCC Connect anytime at lccconnect.org.
LCC
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
The Lansing Community College Massage Clinic is open to the public and provides an opportunity for the students of the massage program to gain valuable client experience. Relaxation massages and therapeutic massages are both available at a nominal fee. Visit lcc.edu/massage for more information.
I'm Stephen Cutter, and I host a show called Coach Cut's Corner here on LCC Connect. Coach Cut's Corner is about Lansing Stars baseball program, mental performance, and just getting better in everyday life. You can always find more about LCC Connect shows and listen on demand at lccconnect.org.
Mom, Dad, I'm in eighth grade now. That means those years of peer pressure are way behind me. From here on out, it's all about good grades and living up to your totally realistic expectations. Alcohol is probably the last thing on my mind. Like you said, I'm too young to drink. When I'm with my friends, all we talk about are current events and boy bands. We're definitely not curious about what alcohol tastes like or why the older kids drink. And do I notice when you have a drink at dinner? Of course not. Just like I haven't noticed where you keep the alcohol. Oh, and if the opportunity arises to talk to me about drinking, you should definitely continue to avoid it. And if you do bring it up, just remind me that I'm too young. That'll probably do the trick.
Real kids are curious about alcohol. 40% try it by the eighth grade. Start a real conversation at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. Talk early, talk often, get others involved. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Modern Warehousing Program through the Job Training Center at Lansing Community College is an industry-led program that prepares individuals for frontline material handling and supply chain logistic positions in medical centers, fulfillment centers, warehouses, and factories. Those who complete this program can earn multiple certifications. Visit lcc.edu/JTC training for more information.
LCC
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
You are listening to Written in the Stars, Books and Beyond, where hosts from the LCC Library sit down with writers, publishers, entrepreneurs, and literary enthusiasts of all types. Join us as we explore the very heart of the written word.
Hello, and welcome to Written in the Stars, Books and Beyond. I am John Saleji. With me today is my co-host, Robin Moore. Today, our guest is Jimmy Coyer. Jimmy is the organizer of Lansing Independent Comic and Zine Fest. Welcome, Jimmy.
Thank you so much for having me. Yes.
All right. To get started here, where and when is the Lansing Independent Comic and Zine Fest?
So this year we are on April 18th, that's Saturday, April 18th, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., going to be partying at Graywall Hall right downtown, right down the street from the studio, in fact.
Awesome. Wonderful. So that's right on Washington.
Yep.
Great, great. Very basic question here. What is a zine?
A zine, it can kind of be a contentious question if I'm being honest, but the most basic form is a really kind of lo-fi stapled booklet that contains kind of whatever you want. A lot of folks will put in personal poetry, or some people will illustrate comics. You can kind of think of it like a book, but something that you can make at home with your printer and your stapler.
So how did zines kind of get started then? Like, what's the history behind zines?
That is a big question, and we have some great resources in and around Lansing that know a lot more about that than me.
Okay.
MSU, for instance, has this amazing zine archive that spans decades and internationally. A lot of people attribute to kind of like the punk scene, though.
Oh.
Folks that want to spread, you know, subversive political messages, particularly associated with rock and roll. That's my understanding, at least. But again, I mean, these are little booklets that anyone could make. I'm sure people have been making them for a long time for a lot of different reasons.
I love that. That's new to me. Thanks for sharing. I'm wondering, like, what could the first-time attendees expect from your festival?
Well, we are going to have about 50 different exhibitors at tables hawking all of the different kinds of booklets that they've made. And this spans pretty much every conceivable genre. We have cartoonists and poets and photographers, really just anyone that's interested in self-publishing their own work. Yeah, yeah.
Is it too late to sign up if someone was interested, if they heard this podcast, if they were interested in joining this year? Is it too late to get a table?
Applications have closed for this year, but folks can always keep an eye on our website and watch for applications next year.
I love that. I love that. So I think, did you share how many years yet this festival has been happening?
Not yet. This is actually only our second year.
Second year. So what's new or different this year?
Last year, we had about 40 folks involved. Mm-hmm. This year, like I said, we've grown to 50, which is really great. One other change is that we had a little bit more reach this time around. So a lot of our people last year, a lot of our exhibitors were centered around Michigan, and that's still pretty much the case. But you can see our exhibitor pool sort of spreading out across the Midwest, which is really exciting because that means we get to bring some of that culture right down here to Lansing.
Love that. So hopefully this platform will give you a boost in participants.
Absolutely. That's, I hope so. Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about zines as one part of the fest and the other being independent comics. I think it's so common that people, when they think of comics, they think of like superhero comics and that kind of thing. So what type of content will be, you know, are in the comics that are like independent comics, particularly independent comics that will be featured at the festival?
Yeah, I thank you for asking this question. I really love it because it's true. Most of the time when I'm explaining the fest to somebody, they assume those superhero comics. But really, it's just like with zines, comics are just a format of information. They can contain really any conceivable topic. And so at this fest, again, I really want to represent that and show people. So there's a lot of stuff that might be how-to manuals that are illustrated in a comic format.
Mm.
Again, some personal autobiographical things that are, you know, true to somebody's personal experience. But you'll also see some silly gag cartoons and maybe even some more like superhero-style comics like you would imagine. But these folks are not working with a large publisher like the folks at Marvel or DC or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You spoke a little bit to it, but what made you want to start this festival?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm not actually a creator of any of this stuff myself. I've just really enjoyed getting my hands on as many of these little booklets as I can over the years. That leads me to travel around, you know, Chicago, more closer to home, Grand Rapids, Detroit. They have fests that are kind of like this. Toronto has got a huge one, but we haven't had one in Lansing. And I grew up around here. I really love Lansing. I don't really see a reason to skedaddle, even though that stuff that I love is usually found in other places. I realized might as well just start it going here.
I love that you're creating that platform for this space, because we don't have it. So kudos to you for that.
Yeah, and I will say, alongside that zine archive at MSU, there's also a huge comics collection. So that was part of the impetus for starting this right here. We actually have a lot of creators and resources for it, but stunningly, not a lot of events or community centered around it.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you're not necessarily a creator of these things, but it sounds like you collect both like independent comics and zines. Like, could you tell us a little bit about your collection, and is there anything that's like super exciting that you have and would like to share?
Gosh, I think that some of my favorite pieces that I own are actually forms of independent journalism.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a couple sitting right in front of me just because, again, they are my favorite pieces. But this one publication by Shannon Spence, it's called Cart Zine, and it just is a series of interviews of other comics creators, which is really, really special to me. You can find that sort of stuff online, but it can be hard. I think people are kind of more aware that the internet's kind of feeling like a smaller place sometimes, and when you're searching for, you know, a particular kind of thing, it can be hard to find, you know, those more in-depth posts or explanations or write-ups or things like that. So I'm really pleased to have stuff like this. A lot of my collection is, I would say, interview style or journalism or autobiography.
Oh, wow.
I know that just from knowing a very little bit about zines and kind of what you have told us already, like, these were things that, you know, people made themselves, in necessarily not always built to last, you know? Mm-hmm. So is it difficult to collect them and find these kinds of things, or has that kind of changed and there's more of like a collecting scene of this kind of material?
Well, I would say it really probably depends on where you are. I haven't found too much of a culture outside of these events that serves as hubs for these kinds of things. But it used to be the case that, you know, if you went to a basement rock show, or, you know, there'd be people passing around their own zines, trading them with others. Zine trading specifically is still very common today, but at least around here, I haven't experienced much of that personally.
So what has been the most rewarding part of organizing or participating in this?
Oh my gosh, there's so many benefits. It's just so fun. Last year, just pulling all these exhibitors into one place in Lansing, you know, in the city that I live in, was just so incredible because, again, like, I just hadn't seen it before, but it was possible. It actually kind of felt like I had tricked hundreds of people into showing up in the same room together. But afterward, the number one piece of feedback that I heard from exhibitors was actually, oh my gosh, the people in Lansing are so nice.
Oh.
Yeah, and I felt that they really meant that, and that was just really, really nice to hear.
So where was last year's event housed at?
So we were down at the Rio Town Marketplace. They've got this kind of big back room that they use for events from time to time.
Yeah.
It ended up being really nice because at the time, one of their other tenants was the Wayfaring Booksellers, so a little queer bookstore. And that meant that everyone that we were pulling into our event was also going to go right next door and check out that small business right afterwards.
Yeah. I'm familiar with the Record Lounge.
It actually happened to take place on Free Record Day
which
is
probably people,
a good little bump.
And this year it'll be at Gray Wall, and Gray Wall's a nice facility for it too, and you know, right by a comic book store as well,
and a bookstore, so
great location for it.
Now let me ask something. Was that intentional?
Oh, absolutely.
I love that.
I had to find a way to make it work because it's really important to me that I'm not really interested in creating events that are siloed, if that makes sense. I know a number of small business owners in the area just from being a particularly chatty individual, and I want them to feel like they're benefiting from something like this. You know, I think us having more events in kind of central locations like downtown. It really is like a rising tide lifts all boats kind of situation, you know. I want those business owners to benefit too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. You mentioned kind of about putting together the exhibitors who are going to be there and the folks who will be involved kind of on that level. Is there anyone in particular, especially this year, that you're excited about that they were able to come to it?
Oh my gosh, yeah. So I will say folks are not able to make it until they're able to make it. Maybe that's confusing. What I mean to say is at any point folks can cancel or drop for various life circumstances. But we did just have an exhibitor commit that I am personally excited about, Field Mouse Press out of California, of all places. They're just small press publishing operation that I have been following for years. So they were just people that lived in my computer. But now they're real and they're going to be in Lansing, and it's just so impressive to me.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's really great. I love the fact that we have platforms where we can follow each other and look at that connection, and now they're coming here to see you. So this brings me to, how can students and young creatives get involved? I'm thinking about, like, how do you reach out to high schoolers, or, I mean, what does that look like?
I haven't done too much outreach so far because the simple fact of the matter is, as impressive as this event is, for me, it's really just setting up a bunch of tables in a big room. You know, it's logistically not very challenging, but I do want to grow the operation. And like I said, I want to be involving more people over time. This year, one thing we're trying to introduce is additional programming. So, for instance, a novel concept next door is going to be hosting, fingers crossed, a zine workshop, a zine making workshop.
Wonderful.
And hopefully we can kind of do more and more of that over time, which will require volunteers. So in an effort to kind of get there this year, I'm going to be opening up volunteer applications in just about a week or two from when we're recording this. And that's just going to be anyone who wants to come by and help facilitate the event in the main ground or next door over to Novel Concept. We'll start building a team.
That's great. That's great to hear.
So if someone can't make it on April 18th, it seems like you have other connections to this community in Lansing. What are some other ways people could get involved in the independent comic or zine kind of community in Lansing?
Yeah, absolutely. I have seen over the last year a number of zine making workshops pop up at a bunch of different locations, which is really, really sweet. Other things that I've noticed, a novel concept downtown and the Capital Area District Library downtown have started opening up shelves for people to leave their zines, for people to come in and maybe swap them with other people. Apart from that, I host a what I call open print in my own living room. I have a special kind of printer that I invite people to come over to use. I've got a big fancy stapler. I've got a big paper cutter, can cut through a whole ream of paper. And that's kind of in an effort to get people making more of these booklets. So I host that twice a month. You can follow the ultramega.studio Instagram account to see kind of when those are. But that's what I'm aware of so far. I hope that we're able to see more of these kind of community events over time.
I love that. What do you hope attendees walk away with or feel when they leave this event?
Gosh, there's so many hopes. There's so many different feelings. I definitely want them to feel inspired because that's what I'm chasing anytime I go to one of these events. Again, so many different kinds of things that people stuff in these little booklets. I also want them to feel like we can have things here. You know, I think sometimes, I'm sorry to say, sometimes Lansing residents, we've got a little chip on our shoulders about, you know, events that are going on. Are there enough cool ones? Yada, yada, whatever. I say, if you don't see enough cool events, make one yourself and people are going to flock to it. That's how I feel, at least.
Yeah, so encouraging. So encouraging.
So you mentioned that one thing you want people to walk away from this from is feeling inspired. Yeah. So what was the first comic or zine that really inspired you?
So, I actually have a pretty strong memory about this.
Great.
This was not a physical book that I picked up, but way back in the day, I was just a kid with a Tumblr account, and I happened upon somebody's kind of independent comic that they published on their own Tumblr. This was Carta Monier. She made something that was just very personal, very touching, and I was like, I've only read Spider-Man. I've never seen anything like this before. And that's the moment that kind of started me along this path. So Carta Monier's work is really important to me, and actually my open print, my having this printer in my living room is something that she did years ago. Mm. So I'm kind of following in her footsteps a little bit there.
Wow. Yeah.
So talking about the open print and that, what kind of printer and equipment do you use for making like zines? I don't know a lot about like the process. So kind of take us through the process and what it would be like, you know, making, printing it.
So I say for most people, the tools are their office printer after hours and the stapler that's on their desk. That's the number one way that people make zines, or that's kind of the historical way, really. But what I have is equipment that's a little bit harder to access, so that if people want to do something that's a little bit more fancy, like, or they want to express their creativity a little, with more options, I try to give them access to that. So my big stapler is this 300-pound machine. It's actually called a stitcher from an old print shop decades ago, but it helps you staple booklets slightly faster. That's it.
So are they always booklets, or can they be one-pagers? Or I saw one individual was making stickers.
So when it comes to like what a zine is?
Yeah. Like, can it just be all of that, or? Because I keep hearing booklet, and like I said, I'm visual, but can it be like a one pager? Or
generally,
I want to see what you got over there.
Is defined as a small booklet.
As a small, okay, yeah.
But when people come over to my little print shop living room to print something, I want them to print whatever.
Okay.
We've done J cards for cassette cases, you know, for somebody's tape. We've done posters like this. Folks are printing pretty much anything you can print on paper.
Okay.
So lots of options.
Okay.
A couple other questions about the event, kind of. Do people need to get tickets ahead of time? Is there a cost or anything like that?
All nope. Right. Oh. It is free. I need to be screaming this from the rooftops.
Yes.
Free for folks to walk in. If you're paying money, you are paying money to an artist directly.
Okay.
And this is a not-for-profit operation. This is a passion project for me. Yeah. So I just want these artists supported. I want these artists hanging out in Lansing. I want community to come out of this. So you can, for free, walk into Gray Wall Hall from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, April 18th, and see all of these amazing artists and chat with them and explore their work.
Love it. He's creating that space.
Yeah.
And we need that. Now, will their food be there?
I thought
snacks?
About food trucks, but we've got so many good businesses right downtown that'll be serving food.
Especially across the street, there's a little...
There is right across the street.
Joloff,
there's all kinds of good places right down there on Washington Street. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean,
will say, though, something that's unusual about this fest versus other similar ones is, since we're taking place in Gray Wall, there is going to be a bar. So there are beverages.
I almost asked you if the bar was going to be open, and I was like, no, I'm not.
Yep. Okay. So you can grab a drink, you can grab a comic, you can sit up on the mezzanine where we're going to have some comfy chairs and some tables, you can just read with a drink.
That's a nice setup.
I'm hoping it feels good to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great space. I love that. All righty.
Well, that it sounds like a super exciting event. Just to let you know, I had already seen this, like, information about this on Gray Wall's website and was thinking about going, so it was kind of like... really great that we were able to talk with you today, because it was something I was already interested about. So it has been just great to talk with you, Jimmy. And before we go, one more time, put in a plug for when, where.
Absolutely. So that is the Lansing Independent Comics and Zine Fest, Saturday, April 18th, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., right downtown at Gray Wall Hall. Very excited.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You have been listening to Written in the Stars, Books and Beyond. Visit lcc.edu/library to find the titles discussed in this episode. You can find previous episodes of Written in the Stars and other LCC Connect shows at lccconnect.com. And in the words of Miguel de Unamuno, I hope, reader, we shall meet again, and we shall recognize each other.
This has been a presentation of LCC Connect, a weekly program that features the voices, vibes, and vision of Lansing Community College. All shows featured on LCC Connect are recorded at the WLNZ studio, located on LCC's downtown campus. Each program is podcast-based and can be heard anytime at lccconnect.org. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on one of our shows, connect with us by emailing lcc-connect@lcc.edu.